These are the words that St. Paul writes to the Corinthians this morning, that we as Christians, we walk a different way. We walk by faith and not by sight. 10 years ago, I met a priest who was blind. He's a Jesuit priest, and he lived with his brothers on a college campus where he ministered there. He had a whole lectionary in Braille that he had read from. He had memorized the Eucharistic prayers, and he walked around campus with a walking stick, completely blind. He hadn't been born blind, but he had lost his sight. And he had said at first when he lost his sight, of course, it was a big shock. But the longer he had walked in his blindness, with every step he became more and more grateful to God for losing his physical sight. He had become so grateful to God for becoming physically blind that he thanked God daily for it. There was an incredible gift that God had given him. Because he said that the longer he walked in his physical blindness, the more and more he could see so many different things that he had been blind to before. The more he was able to see and experience life with God, life in his relationships and everything. He saw more, he said, as a blind man than he did before when he could see. Faith sees more, not less. Blind faith is not a real thing. Faith is anything but blind. Christians can get castigated sometimes that we're very narrow-minded. We see just in these narrow sort of boxes and stuff, which is a complete lie. Faith enables us to see more of reality, not less of it. And in turn, to experience more of reality and life, not less of it. So when we look just with our human eyes at a person, you could see all the biology, all the chemistry that's there. But faith looks at a person and they see more. They see the infinite mystery within that person, the immortal soul, the tremendous capacity for love and hatred within them. That you can look with your human eyes at marriage. We celebrated a 60th wedding anniversary at the 7:30 Mass. 60 years of marriage. You can look with human eyes at marriage and see it as this thing for your self-fulfillment. That I marry this person because they complete me. Be married a while. You'll find out if they complete you. That it becomes this thing in which it's something that fulfills my life. And how would you ever deny someone that? But when those of faith look at marriage, when they see marriage, faith sees that there's something more that happens. That it's not about self-fulfillment, it's about self-gift. And that God is working through that sacrament of marriage to bring about his salvation in the world, most especially in the times of greatest trial, in the most hellacious times in your marriage. This is where God is desiring to bring, in a very particular way, his salvation alive in this world through that sacrament that you're living. And in all times of trial, in times of experiencing your greatest weaknesses in your life, that when we go through those, what can be the temptation? How do we see that with human eyes? That God's abandoned me. God's not listening to my prayers when I'm praying for something really good, and yet I'm still in the midst of this horacious trial and just bogged down by this continual weakness within me. But in the eyes of faith, it sees that there's something more that's happening there. That what God is desiring is to do his greatest work in your life precisely there. So we hear from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians today. If you want to read something that makes perfect sense and it's just a feel-good story, don't read the Bible. Don't read the Bible. If you want to read something that's going to give you a real faith and help to know who God really is, read the Bible. So St. Paul, this community in Corinth, he had brought the gospel there. He had brought the faith there. And he brought them up in the faith. And then he went on to minister to others, to bring God the gospel to others. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he writes to them because something had happened within that community. They had split off into factions, into their little cliques. They had become filled with a spiritual pride and had fallen into all sorts of other vice. And the core of what he's doing in his first letter to the Corinthians is he's ripping into them. He's saying, have you completely forgotten about the power of the gospel, about what it was that Jesus has given you? He rips into them. He does much else in the letter too, but that's the whole core of what he's doing there. Well, when someone speaks to you, even if they speak truth to you, what's going to be your reaction? Especially when they do it in a little bit of a harsh tone. You're going to get a little defensive, right? Corinthians did. They wrote a letter back to Paul. And essentially what they told him is, Paul, you stink. They say, we can't even listen to what you're saying anymore. Because here you are, and you can write fine letters, but you can't even like speak when you come to us in person. You stumble all over yourself. Paul wasn't a great public speaker. He was a great writer. You're like, you're sick all the time. And you're short, fat, balding, all these things. They just ripped into him. And he wrote back to them in his second letter to the Corinthians. And essentially what he says is he's like, yeah, you're right. And more so. That's right, I'm just filled with all these weaknesses. And that's proof that what God is doing is from him and not me. Because if I was trying to do this out of my own gifts, nothing would happen. This is God working through me. And you know what he does? He praises God for his weaknesses. He says, in my weakness, I am made strong. He says, we walk by faith and not by sight. When you look at me, you see all sorts of weaknesses and a stupid, foolish man. But we walk in a different way. And he praises God for the trials that he's gone through and for all his weaknesses. What sort of courageous faith would that take for you to look at your life as this blind priest, Father Larry, does and see maybe the greatest trial in your life, that you had lost your physical sight or whatever the greatest trial in your life is, your greatest weaknesses, and you could praise God for that. Thank you, God, for taking away my sight because I see so much more now. That's hard. That requires leaning into God and living by a whole different light than our own vision. On Friday, 4 men were ordained as new priests in our diocese. It was an incredible day. Deacon and I were talking. Deacon was there as well. Before the Mass, there were at least 80 priests there in the cathedral. And it was beautiful. And these 4 men, they're tremendous, and they're incredibly gifted. But the way in which God is going to work most powerfully through their priesthood is in all their many, 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 many weaknesses that they have. This is where God is desiring to work most powerfully through their priesthood, and it's where he's going to in each one of their lives if they let him. Today is the 8th anniversary for me of my own ordination to the priesthood. It's Monsignor Richter's 25th anniversary today as well. And I can tell you, in 8 years of priesthood, the story of 8 years of priesthood has been that God has worked absolutely most powerfully in the biggest times of hardship and trial, and in my weaknesses when I've let him. When I was young, you know, I didn't think at all about the priesthood until I was 23. And when I was young, on the farm, what I did for most summer days like this is I herded cows. We let the cows out into grassy areas, and I had to go out and watch them. I figured out later on that you could just build fences, but Dad had these kids, and he needed work for them, and so I herded cows many, many hours growing up. It's good for kids to work and to be bored in the midst of it as well, because I would sit out there many hours, and I would daydream as a little 8, 9, 10-year-old kid what my life would look like as I got older, what I would do with my life. And I'd be daydreaming, and the cows would be getting into the neighbor's field, and Dad would come down screaming. But I'd be daydreaming about what I was going to do when I got older. And I had many incredible dreams that I was going to do with my life. And so I had all these different things sort of lined up. God, there's this, or I could do this, or, you know, I'm really good at this other thing. There's all these things, God. Which one of them do you want me to do? They're all great. I'd be glad to do any of them, God. And I'd sort of present him and say, just make it clear to me. Do you know what my first step in my vocation was? Took to the age of 23. It was asking honestly, for the very first time, a different question than, here's all these, which one do God? It was asking instead, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And that's where he began. That was the first step for me in my vocation. God, what do you want me to do? And let me tell you, 8 years of priesthood, God has so much more planned for us in our lives than the plans that we make. When we walk by faith, we experience more of life, not less of it. Because faith sees more, not less. And this is the same for each one of your guys' lives as well. To walk by faith, to not choose to walk blindly just with our own sight. So what's a way that you can do this? When you get up in the morning, your alarm goes off, what's the very first thing you do? Well, you probably reach over and you hit snooze. And then you hit it about 2-3 more times. But after that, when you get out, what's the first step you take in your day? Most of the time, it's I start thinking right away about everything that I've got going on that day. All the different things I have to get done. This really stressful meeting that's coming up. All the things I have to get ready and do for my kids that day. Whatever it might be. To walk by faith and not by sight. To have instead the very first thing you do when you get up in the morning. And some of you learned this when you were younger. To pray the morning offering. I'll tell you the one that my mom taught me when I was young. It has a little rhyme to it. That's how I remember it. I offer to you all that I do, think, or say. Please bless me, my God, and make me yours today. Amen. To pray that right away in the morning. Or whatever morning offering that you have. Jesus, I offer this whole day to you. Both the joys and the struggles, it's yours. That's that first step in your day. You take a step of faith that everything that's going to come that day and everything you have coming at you, that you place it in God's hands and that you offer it to him. To walk by faith, not by your own sight. That this is where we experience more because faith sees more. Because we as Christians walk by faith and not by sight.